Welcome, Progressive Radio Network listeners, green future growers, and anyone who's new to the show. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing. Did you get your copy of the 2018 Spring Garden Journal? It's now live on Amazon for only $8.95. Since I took out January and February, it really dropped the price. It's a great place to record your garden journey, keep all your data in one place. You're going to want to remember frost dates, planting dates, seed varieties, harvest dates. And just so many of my guests have said that keeping good records have helped them be the most productive gardeners they can be. Mike and I created this journal to keep track of what you're growing, what you're eating, what you're harvesting, and just all those things together. So get your 2018 Spring Garden Journal today. Well, I will post it today. I don't really have much. I'll do it right after we hang up.
Okay. Does that sound interesting?
You
said you wanted something Easter-y, so.
I think it sounds awesome. I think it sounds more than awesome because I've been feeling really guilty about buying like any kind of cheese or butter or anything that's not like taken care of. Like I just found this new podcast called Teaching Jasmine How to Cook Vegan, but it's they're only like an episode 4, but they have this other podcast called The Hen House that's like up to episode 338 or 457 or something, that's been out for years, that talks about cruelty-free cooking. And so I am stoked to start listening to those episodes and seeing what that's about. And also my good dear friend Dacia, who my listeners have heard me talk about a lot, like she's the one that really inspired me to quit using any plastic lately. And then after seeing those videos on Facebook of the person swimming in Bali through the stream of plastic, it's just, I don't know. I always felt like I was really conscious and had a pretty good footprint, carbon footprint, but I'm feeling really guilty this spring about my carbon footprint. So naturally dyed Easter eggs would be an awesome conversation to have. And we can get this up today.
Great. Cool. Well, I can dive right in if you are feeling ready.
I'm totally ready. Welcome. Okay. Here we go. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. It's Saturday, March 31st, the day before Easter. I know some of my parents, my kids were like, my mom's going to have an egg that she's not going to die and hide out in the snow. And she thought that was funny, but let me tell you, there's like a foot of snow in a lot of places still in my yard. Mm-hmm. Browning had a huge like blizzard whiteout. Like people are posting all over. They were stuck in town. Roads were closed. Like I just managed to get out of there on Thursday and it's glorious here on the west side of the mountains. And so talking about Easter, April 1st, tomorrow, April Fool's Day, it's going to be my first official day of half marathon training. If anybody wants to come run half marathon in Missoula, it's like one of the best courses in the whole United States, flat, shady, early, could not get a better, nicer course this summer. I think it's July 14th. It might be Father's Day. But anyway, I'm not supposed to be talking. I'm supposed to be talking about my amazing guest, Andrea Catherine, who we're going to do like a food and cooking episode and learn so much more. Because if you heard the first interview we did the other day, you will know that you already learned a bunch from her. So I'll be quiet. And here's Andrea Catherine to tell us more about cooking and Easter eggs.
Yeah, so whether or not you celebrate Easter, you know about this tradition of dyeing Easter eggs. And when I grew up, we could even buy these little plastic shrink wrap things that would go around the egg. I don't know if you remember those, Jackie, but you'd put it over the egg and you'd drop the egg in boiling water and then it would shrink to it and it would have like some pattern on it. We'd use food coloring to dye the eggs and, we make it look cool, but actually dyeing the eggs with things you already have around your house, not food coloring, but actual food is possible. And it's something I want to share today. And then the food that you use to dye the eggs with doesn't have to go to waste. You can compost it if you want, but I want to share a little bit about what you can do with that as well. And so even if you aren't going to dye Easter eggs, hopefully this is interesting to you. Maybe you want to dye something else. So three different food items that I'm going to focus on will give us three different colors. And color is something significant for this time of year when things can feel a little drab. You know, yesterday was really beautiful here in Kalispell and today's a bit cloudier. And it's like, we're just kind of craving that pop of color. And I think that incorporating that in our food can be really helpful for our digestion and for our appetite, which is really fascinating to me. I think it in the Ayurvedic tradition, again, I talked about this last week, this being kapha season, the earth and water, the mud, the heaviness, the stickiness. Having vibrant colors can really help to make us feel more alive and connected to what we're eating. So turmeric, we all know, if anybody uses turmeric in their cooking, you know that it is a natural dye already. I think my roommate will be glad when I move out because I have turmeric stained dish towels and plates and the rug. And I, you know, but turmeric can also, we can use it appropriately as a dye too, not just by mistake.
And it's so a gorgeous color. Also, I love that color.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gives this like kind of mustard yellow when we dye the egg. And we actually are going to mix it with vinegar and water, and the vinegar will help that color to pop in the egg. And if you could do, for example, a couple tablespoons of turmeric with a cup of boiling water and a few teaspoons of white vinegar, and let your egg sit in there for a minute, rotate it. Of course, if you're, you know, love to dye Easter eggs, you can do one side one color, one side the other color. And of course, the longer you leave it in there, the more vibrant that color is going to be. So after you dye your eggs with turmeric, save the turmeric water, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Another food you can use that you might have around your house is beets, and we're coming out of winter, right? So we have these storage crops. Beets are one of them that you might have. The beets that you're buying in the grocery store, if they're local or you're getting them from a farmer, they haven't just been harvested, which you probably know if you're listening to this show, but they've been stored in a way that they're still edible now. Get a dark pink color when you use beets to dye your eggs. So you can cut a medium beet in half or into chunks, and again, add some boiling water. You're gonna need a little bit more water. You wanna make sure it covers the beet, and a couple tablespoons of vinegar again. And you can play around with the temperature before you remove the beets. So you just want to get a really dark color. It's the color that the egg shell absorbs isn't going to look just like the color of the water unless you leave it in the water for a long time. So I recommend just letting it cool down, removing the beets, and then putting the egg in there and getting that really vibrant pink color from the beets. Did you have something you wanted to say?
I wanted to ask a question. So
yeah,
if you're not like me and you don't love pickled beets and you don't want that vinegar flavor in the beets, can you cook the beets, take the beets out, and then add the vinegar?
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Great question. I'm going to tell you though what you can do with the beets and the turmeric water.
Okay.
So don't toss them. But yeah, whether if you don't like that vinegar taste, that I'm sure that that would be just fine. You just want the vinegar in there to help the dye secure to the egg. So it's not about the boiling process. So once you've got that color in the water, it should be fine. Then the blueberries or frozen huckleberries or some kind of berry you might have in your freezer if you make smoothies in the winter and you're like, oh, soon it's going to be berry time again. I got to use these berries up. I've been, you know, hoarding them all winter and using them sparingly. Now's the time you can use them to get more of a blue-gray color for your egg. And of course, you know, this is going to be different if you have brown Easter eggs or brown eggs that you're using for Easter. I'd be really curious how some of these colors would adhere to a brown egg. But to a white egg, that berry is going to get a darker color, or like a gray blue.
I have a friend who posted on Facebook this morning that her mother was complaining that she could not use brown eggs and still needed to go to the store to get white ones. And she's like, what's wrong with these brown eggs? But
I think you could still use them. The color is just going to be a little different.
I think so too. And they'll be still pretty. I don't know. I wouldn't go buy eggs if I had eggs.
No, I wouldn't either. Great. I'm glad you said that because there's no need to go out and buy, you know, white eggs just to make, you know, dye your Easter eggs. especially if you're going to use the actual egg inside, you're going to want that high quality, nutritious, local, you know, free range, organically fed egg from a chicken that you're going to want to eat. And that's where we're going next. So if you're like me, you like deviled eggs, and I don't really make them a lot, but it's a great time, you know, after you've done your Easter egg hunt, if that's something that you do, or you've dyed your eggs and you're ready to crack them open, cutting that egg in half, taking out the yolk. And instead of using mayonnaise, you can use something like an organic plain yogurt, or make your own yogurt, and then mix a little bit of that turmeric water in that already has the vinegar that you would have added to the deviled eggs anyway. Mm-hmm. And then maybe some ground mustard seed. So you can do this in a way that's simplified. You don't need to get like French's mustard and mayonnaise. You can do that. But if you want to kind of go all natural for your Easter egg experience, then you can use the turmeric water. You don't have to throw it out. And you just use as much as you need to get the consistency that you want. And then you have the vinegar in there already for that little bit of pop. And then grounding the mustard, you're going to get a more potent mustard flavor anyway than if you were to buy, you know, mustard in the store. So that's my tip for deviled eggs. And then if you save the beets, if you take the beets out of the water before they go to mush, and if you don't add the vinegar, or you do add the vinegar, you can do this either way. You can slice the beets before you boil them for the Easter egg dyeing, or after they cool, and then toss them with a little bit of parsley, a little bit of lemon juice and olive oil, and make a little salad to go with your deviled eggs. So I hope that sounds interesting to folks. And I like this idea of, you know, you're not just dyeing Easter eggs and then you have all the stuff you put in the compost pile, which is fine, but you're getting to repurpose it. It has multiple purposes. So it sounds kind of fun to me to explore ways to use our food products more than once.
I totally agree. I love all of this. What about like a main meal for, I mean, if you're not thinking of anything, that's fine, but just like, what would go good with deviled eggs tomorrow?
Yeah. I think it probably depends on what time you're eating, what your tradition is. I was thinking about this episode the other night while I was taking a bath. I was remembering, it must have been 10 years ago. I was vegetarian for a year. And I remember when I realized I wasn't ready to be vegetarian, was no longer into that, because I was at Easter dinner with my family and someone passed me the plate of ham. And I stuck the fork in the ham and then put the ham back. And I was like, oh, I actually wanted that. So that was a memory that came up when I was thinking about Easter food. But if ham is something that you like to prepare, I think that, you know, having some kind of green salad, again, this time of year when the bitter greens are starting to pop, adding that bit of color, adding that bit of tanginess and pungency, can add a lot of flavor and can really brighten up what we're eating. And you can use, you know, you could use some of the beets for a green salad if you wanted to do that instead.
You know, I'm glad I did ask, because I did buy Mike a ham yesterday, and all he could say today was like, should I put that ham on? Do you want me to cook that ham? And he's like, I don't know, I'm not even that excited about eating it. And he's like, it just isn't going to taste that good like an old ham back when I was a kid. But the other thing that happened was my kale. I bought some kale salad, like, I don't know, that was on sale yesterday, like all these mixed kale greens, and it froze in my fridge this morning because I had the fridge turned up too high. So I sauteed the kale with some eggs and some potatoes. And I was like, wow, this is what everybody's talking about, sauteed kale. Because it was like one of those packages of, like, you know, the young, freshly picked, or I don't know how freshly picked, because it came in a package probably from California or something, if I'm getting it in Montana. But yeah, baby kale that I normally would never saute. And it did totally give me that punch. And I sauteed it in avocado oil, which is like my new love this year. And I think you're right. I think that pungent taste was just, it just made like a whole new meal and a new flavor that I'd never had before.
We need the bitter right now. You know, we can be really drawn to the sweet, this time of the year, like this, like, oh wait, like we want summer to come, but there's sometimes there's this like drawback into, but wait, does, I just don't want the comfort foods, right? But we need that bitterness and pungency to kind of wake us up and to get us moving. And actually the digestive system, especially this time of the year, benefits from cooking our food. So if you tend to get gassy when you eat a lot of raw foods, notice that, and cooking up the greens can be really helpful too. You don't want to cook them until their color really changes, like gets, you know, like a light green or brown. You want the color to pop so that you're still getting the nutrient value. But what we do when we cook our food is we're starting the digestive process. And so it makes it easier on our body to absorb the nutrients we need and get rid of the things that we don't want. So another reason to maybe cook your greens or have a warm salad, maybe you know, you're tossing the greens together. And then if you're doing hard boiled eggs instead of deviled eggs, you don't want to do the recipe I shared with you. You just want to use the hard boiled eggs. If they're warm and you toss them in and you toss in some maybe sauteed onions, then you're going to start to soften those greens as well and make it more of a cooked salad, a warm salad, and it will be easier to digest. And I think it tastes better anyway.
Well, it sure did this morning. I got to tell you, the thought of a warm salad always kind of grossed me out, just the thought of it. But it was just perfect this morning. I was like, oh, I just couldn't bring myself. I was like, I'm not throwing these greens away. And they were delicious. So, all right. Well, we want to keep these episodes short. So I'm good if you're good. Anything we forgot?
Yeah. Gosh, when I think about holidays, and again, whether or not you celebrate Easter tomorrow as a Sunday, it can be a day to call our family if we're not with our family or be with friends. I guess my encouragement is just to remember, you know, why we like to gather around food and what food does for us, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually, and helps us to connect with other people. So no matter what you're preparing to eat tomorrow, assuming you're going to eat something at some point tomorrow, I encourage you to share it with someone and to notice what it feels like to be with other people while you eat. How does that serve you? And what does that enhance about the sensory experience of eating food? And I'm curious to hear from people what that's like for them.
Awesome. Well, tell people how to reach out to you if they want to. Yeah.
Great. Well, if you want to email me, you can email Andrea at groundedhere.com, groundedhere. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram at groundedhere. And on Facebook, I have a community page called the Grounded Here Community, and you can request to join that. And that's where we have conversations about healthy eating, healthy habits, also my Fearless Self-Love podcast, and I'd love to meet you there. Well, this has been really fun for me, and I'm glad to connect with you again. Look forward to it next week.
Me too. All right. Well, you have an awesome Easter, wonderful spring weekend, and we'll chat next week.
Sounds good, Jackie. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Andrea. Mm-hmm. Today's episode is sponsored by the Awesome Science Action Club. You can join Mrs. Beyer and learn different science action, citizen science action projects or lessons or adventures to have at home that meet the Common Core and are going to be fun. So join Mrs. Beyer's Awesome Science Action Club by simply going to awesomescienceactionclub.com. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.